You're listening to the Sketchnote Army Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rohde, the author of the Sketchnote Handbook and the Sketchnote Workbook. And this is the podcast where I chat with sketchnoters and visual thinkers and try to understand what makes them tick. This season of the Sketchnote Army Podcast is presented to you by the Sketchnote Handbook's 10th birthday. And we're giving you the gifts. Save 50% when you buy any two of the Sketchnote Handbook, the Sketchnote Workbook, or the Sketchnote Handbook video together as a set. Offer applies to both the print and ebook editions of the books. Use discount code HAPPY10 at checkout to apply savings. That's HAPPY10. This set of books makes a great gift for new sketchnoters, or the perfect way to replace your lent-out copies of the books that haven't been returned. And if you own a physical copy of the Sketchnote Handbook and would love to have a digital copy, you can get the ebook and the video for your iPad. For details on this offer, visit rohdesign.com/happy10. That's rohdesign.com/happy10. Offer ends December 31st, 2022, so buy yours today. And now, on with the show. Hey everyone, I'm here with Satya. Satya, welcome to the Sketchnote Army Podcast. It's so good to have you on the show.
Thanks, Mike. It's such a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, and I've noticed you mainly on Twitter is where we've interacted, and I've seen your work. I love your little icon with the yellow color. One of my favorite colors, yellow and orange, these bright colors, and it sort of made me notice you. And then I saw some of the interactions you were having with other people, and it always seemed you were so positive and encouraging, and that was really attractive. That's my attitude, and I spot that right away. And so I thought, this guy would be really fun to have on the show. It's someone who maybe other listeners haven't heard of before and should hear about. So I'm so glad we could have you. And the first thing I want to ask you is, tell us who you are and what you do.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for that wonderful introduction. So I'm Satya. I'm from India. I had like multiple avatars in my professional career, but I think our podcast listeners would be interested in the most recent one. I call myself as an information designer. And what I do is that I do visual remix of information on content and also teach people how to do the visual remix. In fact, like funnily, I say that I do this visual remix as a service. So that is what I try to do. I don't know, like I seem to like consuming content that is visually represented. Mm-hmm. And it's not completely graphically represented, but it could be a mind map, sketchnote, obviously. I'm a big fan of your work. Mm-hmm. and concert mapping. And of course, the visual illustration that we are going to talk about. So that is what I do and serve. And I also serve as a consultant for a bunch of startups as social media manager and as well as community manager. So that's me.
Got it. That would explain why you were so active on social media and seemed to be pretty natural in the work you were doing and had so many people commenting. When you mentioned you were going to be on the show, there were a lot of people that liked it and then gave you good wishes for being on the show. So
That's
pretty cool.
Yes.
That's really great. So let's shift right into the next question, which is, how did you end up in this place? Now is maybe the point where you can touch on all those other careers that you did that led you to doing what you're doing now. I always love hearing this origin story. Maybe start from when you were a little boy. Like, what happened to lead you to the place where you are?
Okay. Funny that you have to ask. Like, it has been like an interesting journey, and nevertheless. So, in India, we have this thing of like you do a degree, a graduation. Then after that, you decide what you want to do. So you don't decide beforehand like what you want to do. So that is how I also ended up doing. But apparently, there was this one track that basically helped me out. I started actually in nonprofit. I was a teacher. Subsequently as a teacher educator, you might know this. So there is this fellowship called Teach for India. It's a very similar to Teach for America fellowship program. So I was there as a teacher. That's what started my career in teaching nonprofit NGO sector, worked with tribal farmers, worked with education startups, etc. I don't know, like, it's not that I was born with this artistic capability or anything like that. It just that happened. And I remember during those internet days, I think in my first job, somewhere around 2007-8, I started a blog post on mind mapping. I just got enamored by it. There was nothing like the internet was on dial-up. We used to have a common computer which will be connected to the internet.
Wow.
So it was during those days.
Yeah.
So I learned about this different way of representing information. Sketchnote, I never even heard of sketchnoting a couple of decades before when I started. But things led, one led to the other, and it was actually the pivotal moment, so to say, was during the pandemic in 2020. I had nowhere to go, nothing else to do, and what I ended up doing was starting to like search on internet. I started my Twitter, I was very late to Twitter, I started my Twitter in 2019, October. And pandemic happened, the lockdown happened in 2020, middle of 2020. And I thought that like, now at least let me give myself a permission to do something and cherish my creative inclination. So I started doing some, I used to make like loads of PowerPoint presentation. Like I try to do that. So I don't know, I wouldn't consider that as an art or a craft by any chance, but that sort of gave me some leeway. And incidentally on Twitter, I don't know, something happened during COVID on social media, right? Like a lot of people came on social media, particularly on Twitter. There was this creative boom that literally happened. And I discovered this guy called Jack Butcher. I mean, you would know. And he had this handle called Visualize Value. It sort of hit me like a brick, literally. And I was so enamored by his craft that I wanted to create it for myself. Because he had this fancy quote, like Stoic quote or some quote from some great person or something like that. And he visualized it using just a black and white framework. The funny thing is that like people still don't believe it, but I'm not professionally trained or educated in graphic designing. And I just happened to start designing. And yeah, I created this brand of Hello Visuals, and I started making it. One led to another. Now I'm consulting with online brands. I'm consulting other creators, bloggers, authors. My visual also happened to be part of a couple of books as well. So that has been a really good journey. And I never planned anything, but just followed my muse, followed my curiosity, and it has been quite fun so far. So yeah.
That sounds really great. Some questions I had for you based on hearing this is, being a teacher, starting as a teacher, how do you think that helps you now? Because I think you think about communicating in a different way as a teacher, right? Especially you mentioned sort of in there that you would talk with tribal farmers, right? So
yeah.
There's maybe a language barrier, there's a culture barrier, there's lots of things to overcome to communicate ideas. How did those teaching years help you later in the work that you're doing?
Yeah, I mean, it's like this, right? Like, you would not understand the dots. You can only understand it later, just like Steve Jobs says.
Yeah.
And I seem to connect the dots now, but it was never planned. Like you rightly said, like the teaching, communicating with another culture, like being around with children specifically, and it sort of sparked my creativity. So I'm one of those teachers who always like inventing and reinventing. I remember like every week I used to like rearrange the desk and the classroom arrangement so that it makes it simply makes things fun for the kids as well as for me.
Yeah,
I don't want to get bored.
Yeah,
I think I don't know, like naturally that happened. Maybe another way of saying is that is also, I think I had this very strong spatial orientation.
Yeah,
I think we talk about this visual thinking one side, and sometimes it's also misconstrued as being this artistic type. Too artistic even, like too much illustration focus. But I think I had this very strong spatial sense as well. And that is why I liked like sketch notes rather than comic books, for example, to say the least, because I want the spatial arrangement of information, how better it could be arranged. So in some form or the other, I think it fed into my creative inclination in some point or the other. I'm not sure how it happened, but it gave me that liberty, in fact, I would say. And but it sort of materialized only now. Only in the past 2 years. And like it's funny, like I have to say that, like only in the past even like 1 year I started calling myself as a designer publicly. Because I didn't have a degree or I didn't have any experience or anything like that. But yeah, like things happened and things propelled my inclination towards it. And yeah, I'm here. Yes.
I would guess that your spatial, your strong spatial sense is also a reason why you do well in design without the training, because a lot of what is hard to teach is understanding spatial relationships and hierarchy and structure and all those kind of things. Like, for some people, it's just like, okay, that doesn't look right. This needs to move over to here, or something's imbalanced. You know, like, there's something about that spatiality that gives you the advantage where, you know, maybe for a student who's in school learning design, that could be a struggle. So I think I suspect that's part of the reason why. And I'm glad that you called yourself a designer, because it seems to me like the work you're doing is design. You have a very good design sense.
And great.
The last thing I'll say is some of the greatest designers often didn't come from design schools. They came from, they were writers or scientists or other things, right? And they had that sense, some kind of a sense, and brought a unique perspective to the business. And often some of the most well-known, if you look into the backgrounds, they didn't begin as designers. They began as something else, and then they came into the space. So that,
nice.
Don't let that hold you back. That's what I meant to say there. So
yeah, good to know that. Sure. Good to know that.
Yeah. So we've talked about who you are. We've talked about how you got to where you are. Tell us a little bit about something exciting that you're doing right now that you can share with us.
Oh, yeah. So one of the exciting things that has happened to me, particularly in the past 6 months, is that so this designing work has given me this platform to a larger audience. And what it has given me is that now I'm able to actually make money with my creativity. So this is a huge leap for me. So otherwise I had to like look for other avenues of making money. Now I'm actually a full-time creator. I can boldly claim myself as a full-time creator. So that is one of the biggest thing that has actually happened. And the exciting thing that I'm trying to like sort of articulate is that I want to help people like me. So I have this it's not like some grandiose mission or something like that, but I want to help other creators like me who are on their creative journey as well, who are discovering their creative inclination in some point or the other, either through talking to them. So I at least talked to at least 4-5 other creators who connect me via Twitter or LinkedIn or something like that, just like free consulting. Try to share my journey, and I try to write about it on Twitter as well. So you don't have to be this big shot creator and all those things. You just have to have that inclination. The other thing is that the biggest issue is that, like, can I make money out of this creativity? And I'm not making $1 million out of like what I'm doing, but I'm making decent enough money. So this is another problem, right? Like, people think that either you have to be this engineer or a product designer. Especially in India, we have this mindset of settling down, and you have to find a job in a big corporate. Only then you are considered a settled, like a proper professional or the other. People might understand a business owner. People might understand a corporate executive. But people don't understand a person like me who's in between.
Professional, I don't have creative,
professional creator, in some ways. Like, I don't have a team. I work on contract basis. The income is not regular, but still there is a path for people like us as well. And internet has been such a boon, in fact, like the fact that I'm able to connect with other creators who are like me, either in India or abroad. So that gives a sense of comradeship and fraternity. So broadly, I mean, the biggest thing is the journey itself that is happening for me. And I'm able to see a brighter future ahead. So for the creators, not just for me, for people like me all around the world. So that is the thing that I am excited about, so to say.
Well, congratulations on becoming a professional. And I think it's a real mark of a mature person to do coaching and mentorship, which it sounds like you're doing as a way to give back. So that's always a good combination. So thank you and congratulations. That's really great to
hear. Thanks, Mike. Thanks.
This episode of the Sketchnote Army podcast is brought to you by Concepts, an infinite, flexible, creative tool for all your good ideas, available on iOS, Windows, and Android. The new Concept 6 for iOS has exciting new features, including a modernized canvas interface, a freshly structured, easier-to-use gallery that integrates with the iOS Files app, and RGB and HSL color options added to its already extensive Copic color palettes. Concept's infinite canvas lets you spread out and sketch in any direction, draw and take notes with liquid pens, markers, and brushes in your favorite colors. Everything you draw in Concepts is a flexible vector, so you can move your notes around the canvas or change their color, tool, or size with simple gestures. Drag and drop images onto the canvas and use layers and grids to organize your creative space. When you're ready to share, export straight to your friends or team. Search Concepts in your favorite app store for infinite, flexible sketching. So I want to shift a little bit again. Let's talk a little bit about your tools. We'll start with analog and then we'll go to digital. What are some of the tools that you like to use? Notebooks, pens, pencils, anything like that that help you in your creative work?
Oh, okay. So I have like a sort of a surprise answer for you. So let me talk about the tools that I don't use.
Okay.
Yeah. So I don't use Adobe Suite. So I don't use Adobe Suite. I have all the Adobe Illustrator, Photoshop in my PC, but I don't use them. It just didn't work well for me. I don't have an iPad. I don't use Procreate. I don't use any of those stuff. And I don't have a fancy notebook or a pen that I can claim off. I have a notebook, a ruled notebook that is less than $1, then a blue pen that I use where I note down my ideas, I draw a sketch. So I prefer to do my sketching for my visual before I sit before my computer. And the tool of my choice is Canva. So I'm a big fan
really?
Of...
Yeah, I've heard a lot about Canva.
Big fan of Canva. And I tried Figma. I tried using Figma, but something didn't work. With me, but I just use Canva. I think the constraint the Canva provides is also useful to me. The reason is that I don't have to think too broadly or loudly, and that constraint helps me to like work with only few elements, and with that few elements I create this minimalistic visual. So that's a thing. And for information organization, document management, I use tools like Evernote and Notion. So that is what
okay.
I use.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. And that, you know, you talked about two tools. We should probably identify for someone who's listening who maybe doesn't know what Canva is. Can you explain, like, what? How would you describe it and what it does?
So it's, I love their tagline that they had, like, democratizing design. So it's such a thing that they have for that. The beauty is that it's not a blank canvas. So there is already template made, both in terms of dimension. So you need a Twitter post, the dimension is there. You need a poster, the dimension is already set. So you don't have to, like, map that one. And also, if you go inside, there is already existing, pre-existing elements, photographs, videos that you can use, reuse. So that is already available there. Icons that is available. So previously when I used to design PowerPoint, like almost everything, I started creating these visuals from PowerPoint only. But later I graduated myself to Canva. So in PowerPoint, what has happened is that like I had to go and search for Google image. Then I had to like look at copyright issues, if at all I have to sell that particular thing. So that is how I used to do previously, and download it as an image file or a PDF file. That is all. In Canva, I don't have to leave the ecosystem. So I can search for the icons. I can search for a circle or there is number of fonts that is available, and it almost looks like a PowerPoint presentation. It works like sliders, like one slide after another slider, and you can control the color, you can control the size, etc., etc. So you can. It's very user friendly, especially for somebody who may not have have this graphic designing tool background. And it's quick to start. The learning curve is quite fast, and you can use that.
Okay, that makes sense. And I'm a user of Adobe products in my work. Adobe XD is one of the tools I use all the time, and I think Figma would be a competitor to that. And I think the thing about Figma is it's designed for a very specific purpose, which is typically user interface design or products, right? So I could see why you would get frustrated because, I mean, you could make it work to do the things you want, but you would always be like using it for a thing it wasn't intended for, right? You're sort of breaking it every time you want to use it, where Canva is almost exactly designed for someone like you. I think it's browser-based, right? Is Canva browser-based and maybe it's got a look? It's got
They also have a desktop, but it works online only. Yeah, it works online.
But I think even, so I would compare... Canva is a little bit like Miro or Mural, those tools, right?
Yeah.
They're browser-based. They have a download, which will run on a Mac or PC. But when you load it, you're just running a web browser, really. Like, all the work is being done on a server someplace. So similar in that way. Maybe Canva is a little bit more towards producing graphic design, where Miro and Mural are more for like solving, thinking through your problems, and maybe individually or as a group. And it has some of those tools, but they're, I guess I would say, rudimentary compared to Canva. Canva's a little bit more polished for that
purpose. True. For example, for creating the Hello visuals and similar such social media graphics, I use Canva. The other thing that I'm also asked for is for creating mind mapping and logic charts, etc. I use Xmind. For example, so that is something that I do. And also, the good thing about Xmind is that you can share it with the, so there is a browser version also, and you can share it on the screen and you can co-create and collaborate with that also. So that is something that I also would recommend to people. Yeah.
So I'm curious about when you do sketchnoting, what are you doing that in your notebook with the blue pen? Is that typically where you do your sketchnote work? And then in the case that it needs to be turned into a graphic, then you switch to Canva? Like, what's your process? If you're going to do sketch, let's say someone hired you to do sketch notes, what would you do?
Yeah, exactly that. Like, you're spot on. So basically, like, it's about me absorbing the content, first of all. Like it could be part of a PowerPoint presentation, for example, a pitch deck, or it could be for a social media graphics. Or for example, I worked with a client who wanted to make like a Twitter thread with 10 visuals of their podcast episode. So that is what I do. So I try to absorb the material. And I don't know, like, once you absorb the material, there is something that seems to work in my head that want to visually place those information concepts on a canvas. So that is where so people ask me repeatedly, like, how do you do this visual? I don't know, like, you sit and like think about that concept, and I sort of, my brain goes blank in some sense. And like, you think about those visuals only, and when I'm drawing those visuals, it's just like circles, triangles. I don't use a skeleton figure that you use, like I don't use that specifically. So I usually just take a concept and create visual out of it without the human figure, so to say. So I try to do that. I do it on my notebook. Then from my notebook, then I go to Canva, and I try to recreate it. And in the process of recreating from my notebook, also something else sparks. And like, you duplicate it and create another copy, another version. Then you try to add a mix and all those things. Then that is how it usually sort of happens. The only thing is that, only thing I found for me is that, like, you can't short circuit the process. That is alone, that there is no like shortcut. I wish there was some kind of a shortcut. I remember sitting on a single quote for like 3-4 days, the visual doesn't come out. And I just have to give up, saying that like sorry boss, like this, there is, I cannot create a visual for this quote. I have to give up on it. Or it comes after a week or something like that. So it just happen. I think you grow, you try to structure it as much as you can, but sometimes you just have to like follow the muse and create it.
Sometimes the material tells you what it wants to be. That's a weird thing to say, but I've experienced that, where when you look at the material and you let it sit in your mind, it's like something pops, like, it needs, I want to be this. It's sort of like telling you like to be this. And then I found that when I listen to it and I organize it in that way, it makes sense. It's always a great starting place. So
that's, definitely.
Sounds like that's happening for you too.
I'm glad that it is happening. And like a segue, like, for example, if it is permitted, like, so there are this, I have this concept, and I really like I've been talking to my mentor about this, and he liked it, so I just wanted to share it here as well. So there are this two types of fans that I have. like there is one type of fan, good fan, and there is a great fan. So good fan, like, you talked about biryani. So biryani is such a delicacy. So good fan will cherish the food and appreciate the chef, and even like give a like a hefty tip to the waiter and the host. So that is a good fan, mark of a good fan. But a great fan, what he does is that he would enjoy the food, of course. He will cherish it. He will, of course, appreciate it. But what the great fan wants to do is that he wants to get the recipe of the from the chef. And also wants to do the same biryani at his house.
Yeah.
So that is the mark of a great fan. So the reason I say is that, like, I like like the works that you create or Jack Butcher creates or Carl Richards, another person whom I very much cherish. So these are the people whom I cherish. So the art form, the craft is so good. And I feel myself that I'm such a great fan that I want to recreate for myself. So I'm not just a good fan. I'm a great fan of such work. And that is what like sort of motivates me, because I love consuming such kind of content. I love it so much that I want to create it for myself or for another audience or etc. So that is how it sort of happened. And
that's really good to hear. That's when you step to the level of you involving yourself, that it's a change beyond just being an observer to being a participant. I think that's pretty great that you do that.
Exactly. Yeah.
So we're coming to the tips part of the interview, and that is where I ask you, okay, there's people listening, all different kinds of visual thinkers that can cover a lot of things, sketchnoters, graphic recorders, other professional creatives like you who maybe use tools. And maybe they feel like they've reached sort of a point where they're not moving forward. They're just sort of coasting, but they feel like they should be growing, or they should be, you know, there should be something more than this. What would you say to that person with three tips? What would be three things you would recommend to them to help them maybe look at things from a different perspective or rise above the level where they're stuck right now?
Okay, great. So one thing is like have this craftsman mindset. And I think I heard it from Professor Carl Newport from his book Deep Work. Like he talks about he narrates a story about this craftsman, like I think a sculptor who produces this beautiful art, and he gets so much satisfaction out of that art form, like creating, you know, something valuable that he has created with his own bare hand. So he cooked it up literally out of nothing. So it's really nice to have that craftsman mindset. It could be for anybody, even for a writer or a manager or a leader, like, or a coach. Like that is your craft. Like how can you polish it, refine it? So there is no excellent like level of excellence you can achieve. You can always get better. So that is a great mindset to have. You're always pushing the craft as well as yourself. So that is one thing. And the sort of a problem I'm still facing, that problem, the problem is that like what craft to choose. That is always like a problem that happens. And unfortunately in today's world we are flooded with choices. And like you can learn a skill in like 10 days or 20 hours, like, or 1 hour. People claim that you can do that. And that is where I like this good fan versus great fan mindset. So what is that piece of art or craft that you're a great fan of, that you want to create it for yourself? So that is the craft that you want to pursue. You can like biryani and still not cook it, so that is okay. But if you want to cook it as well, then that is your niche or your passion or etc. I think that is a tip. Like people find it really hard to find their niche, right? Like, and this I found as a filter. For example, I'm reading a book by Scott McCloud. You would know him. Like he wrote this beautiful book called Understanding Comics and Making Comics. Such a brilliant book. Last week a friend of mine recommended it. It's brilliant that I didn't know that you can actually present nonfiction material through simple comics. It's brilliant. I started reading like 50 pages in one shot. Like never have I read like 50 pages in one shot, and it's really nice. It's like it's not visually appealing, but the way it was presented is so appealing. I like it. I'm a good fan, but I'm not a great fan of that. Like I would not be creating comics anytime in the future. Maybe I'll experiment it, but I'll not create it. But I love Jack Butcher's art. I love Carl Richards like simple visuals, minimalistic visuals that they create. In fact, that brings me to my next tip. Like how do I master that particular piece of craft? And the way that I did was basically copying them, literally blatantly copying them. And I found validation in another place. I think in copywriting it's called copy work, right? Like copywriters used to copy, like manually copy like the books or the novels or sales letter or sales pages. And I also found it in another book called Decoding Greatness. There's a guy by this guy called Ron Friedman. He talks about the first step to mastering a craft is actually copying. Like, and that is what exactly I did. I was doing it very intuitively. So I even had my canvas black, just like Jack Butcher had, and I was trying to do the same visuals in my thing. I can't claim it, but I think it takes you inside the brain of that particular designer when you are trying to create it in some form or the other. Then what happens is that after that, that is like on my practice ground, my training ground, then I go back and create my own art form in my style. Because in this process of imitation, you will definitely not be perfect. You will add your own masala to it.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
I'm sticking to that biryani analog, like spices to it. You will add a little extra pinch of salt or an extra amount of chili or pepper or whatnot. And what happens is that you cook your own recipe, make your own recipe and make your own biryani in your own style. And that is what happened to me also. From Jack Butcher to my own style. So that is one brilliant way of like actually designing. Even if now I want to learn anything, I try to follow that method. Copy their form, copy their art, then finally try to create it on your own. Take that as an inspiration and do that. Then the third thing, I think it's also still missing. So I don't want to be this starving artist. That is something, unfortunately, it stops many people to take up a career in creativity. But the problem is that, in fact, creativity can actually give you money as well. And one of the things that has happened is that social media has become this huge platform, at least for me. And there's this concept of building in public. I think a lot of people has spoken loudly and enough about it. You just have to talk about your processes. Then you use Twitter or LinkedIn as your networking. And you not be too salesy and spammy. I think I'll tell that caveat as well. But on the other hand, you can actually present your material. You can build your portfolio. You can build your digital asset and present it to people and actually invite them to invite you to offer your service. And that is how I started getting clients. And now I don't actually search for clients. It's all coming as inbound. A friend connects to another friend, another brand, and they come and approach me. And we do a project together. And that is how it is. It is actually happening. So these are the three basic, like craftsman mindset. And the second is this good fan versus great fan. Maybe we can say the third one is copying first, imitating first, then mastering the craft. And fourth would be this build in public process, where you actually make money out of your creativity process. That's my tips. I think it has become four tips. Hope that's okay.
That's okay, yeah. We only have three as a minimum. We've had many people who've done four or maybe five. So it's always better to have more tips, but we want to try and at least have three. And you've covered yourself.
Great.
Now you're making me hungry for biryani. And I think I've heard biryani is quite a complex dish to make properly. It's not something you just whip it up in half an hour. It takes days, right? So, a good metaphor for creativity, right? Because things take time, just like biryani does. So
exactly. Yeah,
if you want good biryani, yeah. So.
Yeah. True. But it's always an experiment. You'll definitely get the recipe wrong the first time. It is bound to happen. And like that is what build in public is, right? Like you can fail faster and quickly, and so that you arrive at that level of refinement as best as possible. So that
good deal. Well, you know, we're at the end of the interview where I ask Satya, how do we find you? Like, what's a good place to meet you, to see your work, to connect with you, so those who are listening can make a new friend and sort of see new work and be inspired by you.
Great. So, I'm big on Twitter, as I said.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm very much almost every other time I'm on Twitter. So, that I think we'll be sharing my Twitter handle, SatyaHQ.
Yes.
So, that will be my Twitter handle. So, I'm also on LinkedIn.
Okay.
So, that is also another place. But my major place is at Twitter. It's such a lovely place where you can connect with people, and as I said earlier, fantastic place for networking, especially for creators, especially for creators who are either whatever phase of journey they might be. So they might be like just beginning, or they might be in the learning phase, or peaking. So wherever they might be, it's such a good place to connect and network. So that's where I'll be there.
And you know, as always, we'll be having show notes in here for anything that Satya has mentioned, books, links, anything that we talk about. I do the show notes myself, so I make sure and put as much detail in as I can, because I know that I like good show notes, so I make good show notes for you. So, well, Satya, this has been so much fun and so great to meet you. Thank you for being on the show. It's been so good to chat with you.
Thank you, Mike, for this invitation. Had a great conversation. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, and I'm just really impressed with the work you do, and now even more impressed now that I've met you. So I'm excited to see what things happen in the future. And for anybody who's listening to the show and watching the show, this will wrap another episode of the Sketchnote Army podcast. So until the next episode, talk to you soon. The Sketchnote Army podcast was created by me, Mike Rohde, and brought to you by Rohdesign Studios. It's produced and edited by Alec Polianis of Amp Creative Studios. The theme music was created by John Schiedemeyer. To support the creation of this show, I invite you to buy one of my books, the Sketchnote Handbook or the Sketchnote Workbook. You can find the books on Amazon or go to peachpit.com and use the code RODY40 for 40% off. Please share this podcast with other visual thinking friends and be sure to leave a nice rating on iTunes or your favorite podcast listening app so others can find the show.